Calgary Flames fans, it's time for Flames Unfiltered. Entertaining and controversial hockey talk with your host, Brad Berube.
The road trip was labeled as a measuring stick. Florida broke that stick. They are good. Good evening and welcome to another edition of Flames Unfiltered. Episode 110, recorded on a Wednesday night, January 5th. Flames off today, back at it again tomorrow in Tampa Bay to take on the two-time defending champs. That should be an interesting one. I like these tests though. This is good. Actually, a really good time of the year to be doing it. So happy new year to all of you. Well, we can hope that 2022 is a better year for everybody, with a little bit more normalcy. God, wouldn't that be wonderful? Hopefully it's a better year for the Flames. 2021, not such a great start if you're a Calgary Flames fan. As the year went on, things got a lot better. By the end of the year, we had our hockey team back, didn't we? Let's hope 2022 can build on that and we can see how far the Flames go this year. I don't know. I'm excited about this team. I like this team. I think we've learned some things in the last 24 hours about this team. But so far, so good. 19 days the Flames were off for the COVID break. And back at it against Seattle last Thursday night, I believe. A decent start. A win, so that's good. I thought we looked a little shaky in the first. Got off to a slow start, and then things kind of found their way. And that kind of was the case on Sunday night in Chicago, too. A little slow start, and we just kind of found our groove and got going again. A lot of bad news, so we got more postponements. The January 11th game against the New York Islanders at the Saddle Dome has been postponed. The January 15th game against the Vegas Golden Knights, that was also postponed. So we just keep getting postponement after postponement. The frustrations are at a high point. They really, really are. I don't see any way this team gets all these games in the normal regular season time. I did see today that some NHL games have been rescheduled after that original end of the regular season date. So evidently the playoffs are going to be getting pushed back. So that's not good news. I don't like to hear that. And, you know what? Quite honestly, I don't blame the owners for saying, you know what? We're not playing home games unless we get our fans. Do you blame them? Everywhere else in the U.S. gets to have their fans. And in Canada, they don't. So I don't think those owners should pay that hefty financial, that price when they got to pay the players the same. So that being said, I'm not the only one angry about it. Daryl Sutter is. He came out and said, it frustrates me that everybody is coming to the games with at least double vaccinations, and now they're not allowed to come to the games. That really doesn't make any sense. And he's right, because the original promise was, get vaccinated, you can come, act normal, everything will be great. Guess that promise doesn't apply anymore, right? I think that's where the frustration lies. I just pray that things get normal sooner rather than later. On today's episode, we're going to recap three games. Damn, it feels good to say that. We haven't been able to say that for a long time. And then we'll analyze the depth of this forward group. Discuss that bottom six and their lack of production as of late. And it frustrates me. I know it frustrates all Flames fans. We'll talk and dive into that just a little bit. And then we'll talk about who are some targets for trade deadline. Will a move even be able to be made with the cap where it's at? We'll talk about that. And after that, we're going to roll into some Flames news from the Pacific, preview the final two games of this gauntlet road trip that the Flames are on. And I don't know. This is a fun road trip, though. I like this one. Thanks for joining us here on Flames Unfiltered. We'll be right back. All right, Flames fans, let's preview some games here as the Flames got back onto the ice after 19 days off. God, that seems like a long time, doesn't it? Thursday, December 30th. It was good to have Flames back. I was so excited for that game. I couldn't wait. And in Seattle for the first time ever in franchise history. And in true ex-Flames fashion, Mark Giordano started the scoring with a goal. And I think everybody was just like, oh, man, why does everybody we trade come in and score on us? It just seems like it always happens. 1-1 after 1. 3-2 after 2. Flames crank it up, score 3 in the third for a 6-4 win. Markstrom with the win had a really, really good night. Matthew Tkachuk with the game-winning goal. Flames outshoot Seattle 40-22. We're going to talk about that 40 shot total here again here in just 1 minute. Then on Sunday, January 2nd, to start the new year off, Calgary headed into Chicago. Walks away with a 5-1 win. 1-1 after 1, a real sluggish period for the Flames, I thought. Didn't look great at all, I didn't think. And as the game went on, the second period was dynamite for the Flames. They outshot the Blackhawks in the second period 26-9. That ties a franchise record for the most shots in one period. That dated all the way back to 1986 when they did it against the New Jersey Devils. Johnny Gaudreau with a monster night in Chicago. A goal and two assists, 19 minutes, a little over 19 minutes on ice. Tkachuk had a goal and an assist for 2 points, and Markstrom was dead on, stopping 96.8% of the shots. He's been good. He's been really good. A little bit of a falter then on Tuesday night as the Flames went in to Sunrise to take on the Florida Panthers. And I knew the Florida Panthers were a good hockey team. And I'm not the only one, I think, that had a revelation last night as we watched this game, but this Florida Panthers team is dynamite. They're everything. And Sutter backed it up by saying, no, this is a playoff. They're built for the playoffs. And he's totally right. This team is, you know, fairly young. They're big. They're fast. They're strong. They're tough on the puck. They capitalize on their chances. And you know what? They got good goaltending too. So this team really has it all. 3-2 after one. Flames trailed, but I thought the Flames were really, really good in the first period. And then that late goal by, another ex-Flame wasn't Sam Bennett, because Sam Bennett did not play in this game because he is serving a 3-game suspension. Lombardi scores, an ex-Flame, of course, and that was late in the first. And I thought the Flames didn't come out in the second with the urgency and the physicalness and the grit that they did in the first period. But this is a dynamite hockey game. It was all over Twitter. Everybody saying, hey, turn the Flames-Panthers game on. This game is good. As both teams are back and forth, trading chances, shots 49-25. The most combined shots in an NHL game this season. It was scoring chance after scoring chance after scoring chance, which is exactly what the Flames did not want. They don't want to trade punches with the Florida Panthers, because you're going to lose. Now, Markstrom was not on his game per se. I didn't think he was horrendous like some people did on social media, but I didn't think that he was as good as he should have been. He got out-goalied, and that's okay. He's been... had a great year. He's outgoalied a lot of other goalies and won a lot of games for this team, but he was not on the top of his game in Florida. But this one, I'm not pinning on him one bit. This Florida Panthers team is for real. They are really, really good, really, really deep, and pretty much everything I want the Flames to be. God, am I saying that about the Florida Panthers? I can't believe I'm saying that. I don't think I'm giving them too much credit. This team is a contender, a real, real cup contender. Depth. Scoring depth from our forwards. It really came as, I started worrying about it in the previous few games prior to the COVID break. And it's really, really reared its ugly head as of late. So what I did is I took a look at the forward lines for the Flames. And I charted it out, and I put together the even strength points for everybody, every forward in the Flames. I'll go through them. Our first line, Lindholm has 18, Gaudreau has 30, Tkachuk has 19. No complaints. Honestly, one of the better first lines in the National Hockey League. The second line, Dubé has been centered as of late. I know there's been some fluctuation there, but as of late, we're just going to base it off lines that Sutter's had the last couple games. Dubé, 9 even strength points. Not good enough. Lucic, 11. I'll take that out of Milan Lucic. He's had a great year. And I'll take that. Mangiapane, 14. I'll take that. That's a good year for Andrew Mangiapane. Michael Backlund, 9. I like Michael Backlund. I've always been a big Michael Backlund fan. But he is very streaky and always has been. He gives you everything you want defensively. Gets a ton of breakaways. Rarely scores on him. But when he's hot, he's really hot. And when he scores, the Flames usually win. He's sitting at 9 even strength points right now. I'd like to see him in that 11, 12, 13 mark, that's for sure. Blake Coleman sits at 9. He had his best game of the year last night with 10-plus shots against Florida. He was all over the place, buzzing. Look, he just made it a playoff game is what he did. He single-handedly was the hardest-working Flame out there. He was really, really good. Now, I don't know if that pisses you off because we know he can play with that intensity. And I'm not saying I can't say that I think he's been lazy this year at all or not playing to the intensity he needs to be. But it is price tag. Need a little bit more point production. We just do. His 9 even strength points just isn't enough at this point in the season. We'll see if that turns around. And I got a sneaky suspicion that will. I do. I think he's too talented, working too hard to not have it go. His shot percentage is extremely low right now, and I think the odds will change that. Now, on the right wing of that third line is Tyler Pitlick. I was excited when we signed and acquired Tyler Pitlick. Not that excited anymore. I defended him a lot early in the season because I like his speed. He's fairly physical. This guy has no scoring touch at all. He's got 2 even strength points, not goals, points. We can't, that's just not acceptable at this point. It's just not. Elite teams don't have that. And I got a point to prove that. The fourth line, Sean Monahan with 5. We're not going to rip on Monahan anymore. We know he needs more points. It's not good enough. I don't know what the solution there is. And, I don't know where that's going to go. I think it'll be that we have Sean Monahan on our fourth line for the next 2 years, and then Sean Monahan and the Flames will go their separate ways. Brad Richardson on the left side's got 4 even strength points. Definitely not enough. Lewis is on the right wing of the fourth line. He's got 7 even strength points. I'll take that for a fourth line. I'll take that. I do remember though when all of us Flames fans are talking prior to the season starting, us saying, you know, we finally got our top 6 and it's solidified and we feel confident and we feel good about it. And I think the 6 we talked about, you know, were Lindholm, Gaudreau, Tkachuk, Dubé, Coleman, and Mangiapane. And honestly, of those 6, the only 2 that are really letting us down is Dubé and Coleman. So I started to think, okay, well, are these, we've said that this road trip's a measuring stick. And we said, you know, is this team for real? I think we found out last night a lot. I think we found out last night the Flames are a good hockey team. Now, I can't judge them completely because I didn't think it was their best night, but I didn't think it was a bad night for the Flames last night. I really didn't. The final 2 of this road trip in Tampa Bay and Carolina will teach us more. But when I looked at these point productions, it left me wanting more. And I thought, well, wait a second. How does this compare to other teams in the league? Well, we watched a Florida Panthers team last night that's extremely talented, extremely good. And I thought, well, how does their point even strength point production differ from the Flames? And are they more deep than the Flames? Well, I got some numbers to prove it. Let's look at the first line, for example. Barkov's got 17, Verhaeghe's got 22, and Reinhardt's got 24. So you comparatively speak there, you got the Flames actually have more. So that's a good sign, right? Let's look at the second line. Bennett's got 13, Huberdeau's got 30, Duclair's got 18. That is a lot more. That's almost 20 points more from their second line. That might be a problem, right, Flames fans? The problem gets worse. Lundell centers their third line. He's got 15 even strength. Vatanen's got 10, and Tippett's got 11. So that's 26, 36 points, and the Flames have 20. 16 more. And if you pull that depth one more line down, with Lomberg, Lucinen, and Hornquist, they've got Lomberg 9, Lucinen 12, and Hornquist 9. So that's another 30 points, and the Flames have 16. That's another 10 plus more. Now, I know that Florida's probably a bad, you can say, well, that's not a league average example. No, it's not. But do we want this team to be league average? If we're going to be a cup contender, we need to get more production through our lineup. We do. We have problem areas all over the place. Dubé is a problem for me this year. Dylan Dubé has potential, but he is not progressing like we need him to progress. We see flashes every once in a while, just not enough. Blake Coleman, I just talked about him. I think he's going to turn it around. I think we'll start seeing him, score some points. He's doing everything else right. I will say that. He's been very good. He's doing a lot of good things for this team. Michael Backlund, I don't think he's been awful, but he hasn't been the Michael Backlund we need him to be. And Tyler Pitlick, unacceptable. It sucks because I really liked that pickup. I did. I'm really actually surprised he hasn't chipped in more. He had a golden chance last night in the slot, shot it 4 feet wide. I'm just like, he is just not bearing any of his chances at all that he gets. Bust his ass out there. Every night, bust his ass. Just not going in for him. Richardson and Lewis, yes, they bring experience to the team, and I know their point total's low, and we say, well, but they bring experience, right? And that's good. But couldn't we find maybe some young talent, or at least one of the two roles filled with a young talent so we can progress our prospects a little bit? I'm okay with having one of them out there. I know we need some veteran leadership, but this team just seems like every year we just keep recycling old veterans at that $750,000 target range, and we don't ever develop our prospects. Hell, if I had to say one problem over the last 20 years of the Calgary Flames is I think this team sucks at drafting and developing prospects. And now you'll have people that'll argue with me and say, well, Andrew Mangiapane and, Johnny Gaudreau and, it stops about there. Matthew Tkachuk, yeah, okay. But what's happening with all our other guys that we thought were going to be top-end players? Why do I watch teams like the Florida Panthers or the Tampa Bay Lightning or the, there's other examples that you watch and be like, where the hell did this guy come from? And you'll look and it'll be like, third round pick for them 3 years ago. Like, don't we have any of these young guys that are big, strong, and fast that could step up? I mean, we bring up Ruziska, which I think he's a great player. I watch him in the American Hockey League all the time. I'm like, God, why does this not translate? He comes up to the show and he's just like, he's lost and scared out there. I mean, I'm not scared physically, but scared to make a mistake. Why are our prospects not developing like they are on other teams? That's how you build depth. And most importantly, that's how you build affordable depth, is through your prospects. Flames struggle at that. And I think it's tough to build a team like Florida is, just using them as an example, if you're not developing your prospects and having a guy or two guy every year that's all of a sudden stepping into the lineup, or hell, I'll take a guy every 2 years to step into the lineup. But I just feel like we tread water with our prospects. We hear all the hype and the glitz and the glamour about them, and then all of a sudden it's like, well, when are we going to see this glitz and glamour in Calgary? Because we just don't. It's a problem, and I think it's a problem that I hope changes soon. I like Connor Zary, and I will see what happens there. But you know, eventually we need to start working some of these in to be everyday players that in their first 2 years in the NHL, much like Matthew Tkachuk did, are impacts. We need it, and we need it now in Calgary. Okay. Well, the flip side is, well, how are we going to fix this problem? And is this problem even fixable by the end of the year? In reality, no, it's not fixable by the end of the year. We cannot build a team as deep as Florida or Tampa Bay or Colorado, for that matter. It's not. It doesn't mean we're done, dead in the water, not going to win a Stanley Cup. That's not what I'm saying. Because I believe a lot more goes into it once you get to the playoffs. Do I think the Flames are a playoff team? Yeah, I do. Daryl Sutter kind of boohooed us and told us not so fast last night. You know, he said we keep playing like we did tonight, we won't be a playoff team. It's not in the bag, but I this team would have to falter pretty drastically to not make the playoffs, and I don't think that'll happen. But who would these trade targets be for the Flames this year? And there's been about seven of them mentioned in the NHL rumor mill in this last week, and I'm going to address each of them, and I'll give you my thoughts on each of them. The first one talked about the most, and I don't know, probably the guy that I would like to see the most. I really would. I would love to see this guy part of the Flames. I think he would help us tremendously. That's Tomas Hertl of the San Jose Sharks. Now, Sharks are moving down the standings. It seems like they've hit the skids since the little delay we had. And he is a UFA at the end of the year. He makes 5.625, which is quite a bit, but not undoable, I guess. He's a great fit in the Sutter system, in my mind. He'd fill the hole we need, because we need a right winger, something fierce. He would be a great... Oh man, would he fit in good? He's 28 years old. He plays that right wing. This year he's in 34 games. He's got 16 goals, 10 assists, 26 points. He is my number one target if I'm Brad Treliving. Number one. Patrick Laine, his name has been brought up. I will pour water on this fire. I don't think this is happening at all. First off, he's a restricted free agent at $7.5 million. Well, that's not happening if you want Tkachuk, Gaudreau, Shillington, and who else I'll sign next year. I got another guy that's sitting on the top of my head. He has a right wing. He's a top-notch scorer, just 23 years old. I question whether he'd fit it in as a Sutter player. And I don't have any background on this, but I question maybe his locker room presence. Oof, is that fair to say? I do, though. I'm not sure why Columbus would move him in the first place, but he's come up in the rumors. In 12 games this year, he's got 4 goals, 7 assists, 11 points, so almost a point per game. Another name floating around the Calgary trade rumor talk is Claude Giroux, the 33-year-old UFA from Philadelphia, making 8.275. He's a proven vet, plays that right wing, can play center. But this huge price tag and me not thinking Philly is going to move him at this point, makes me feel like this one's very, very, very unlikely and not realistic. Number one, because of the money. In 32 games this year, 11 goals, 18 assists, 29 points. Yeah, everything the Flames would want. He's dealing with some injuries right now, but I don't see this one coming down the chutes at all. Tyler Toffoli is another name that's come up, and I like this option. He's in Montreal right now, and Montreal is not making the playoffs, and I think would be very open to moving him. Currently injured. He's got two more years at 4.25, so a manageable contract. He's 29 years old. He can play the right or the left wing, which fits our needs. He's a proven playoff performer. We've seen that in the previous years here. In 26 games this year, he's got 5 goals, 12 assists, 17 points. But I think this is one's doubtful too. I think it's probably less doubtful than Giroux and Laine. But when you think about this, it's pretty damn risky. Because acquiring anybody with term makes the likelihood of us being able to sign Mangiapane, Gaudreau, Tkachuk, and Shillington in the offseason very difficult. We can't plug up more cap for next year and previous years when we got to worry about fitting in those four, or at least three of the four, and hopefully four of the four. Another name we've had floating around quite a bit is Mark Giordano. Well, I'm sorry. I love this guy to death. I have a painting right behind me of him. But we've moved on from this. And right now, honestly, I like our defense. I do. I don't think that would be smart, number one, especially if we're going to spend cap money. We've got to get a top six winger, don't we? Another name floating around, Evander Kane. I always look at things as risk-reward, right? Well, on this one, I just feel like the risk is way higher than the reward. I wouldn't want to screw with our locker room right now because I kind of like it. And I would be upset if this move was made. Jake DeBrusk is another name that keeps floating around. I don't know. His salary is too high, and his contract expires at the end of the season, and he'll be an RFA with arbitration rights, and he's due a qualifying offer of 4.41. He's a depth guy, but he is not going to score for us. He is not what the Flames are looking for. We're looking for a scoring winger, not a grinding winger. So the talk of Jake DeBrusk, especially at that price, like, that's crazy talk. I can't imagine we'd do that. So who would we move? What assets do we have to go get a guy? Well, Yusuf Alamaki would be one that would come to mind, and boy, I don't know if I want to give up on him, but if it meant getting a top-end winger, I think I'd be open to it. The problem is if we get a Thomas Hertl, he's probably just a rental and that's all. So what are you willing to give up there? Well, that would be more in the category of like we have a first to give up this year, 2 seconds. One of them we got in the Sam Bennett deal. Maybe a prospect. I don't know which one would be the most viable there. A Dylan Dubé's name comes to mind. And some people have said Zadorov. I personally would keep Zadorov because I think he's going to be a factor in the postseason. The biggest problem lies with this talk of deadline is I sit and look at the salary cap, and the Flames currently, right at the moment, have $2.6 million open. I don't know how you get this to work without piggybacking Monahan along, and if you do that, then we're talking we got to give a whole bunch more because for somebody to eat that salary, they're going to have to get some heft and some great prospects along with it. And so that really makes me wonder how in the world that would ever work. But something like that's going to have to work for us to get the cap space available to bring in the guy that we need to really change things. Treliving's been known to make quite a few deadline deals. Most of them are fringe deadline deals, not big splash deadline deals. And I think he's open to a big splash deadline deal. I just don't know that the cap this year is going to allow that, but the guy that I would like to see step in would be Hurdle. I think he'd be the best fit for this team and solve a lot of our problems up on that front end. All right, Flames fans, let's talk a little bit of just some random Flames news going on. Johnny Gaudreau, yeah, he's been on fire. I've been eating crow a lot this year because I ripped on him so much in last year that if you listen to the show, you know I ripped on him all the time. His three-point outing in Seattle set a couple of personal records. He's now seventh all-time in the franchise history with the most three-plus point games, 40 of them. He passed Kent Nielsen for fifth in career multi-point games as a player with 59. That is a lot. And after the game in Seattle, Daryl Sutter said, "Gianni is one of the best 200-foot players in the league right now, and that says a lot about him and the way he's approached this season." Now, he added another goal on a breakaway in Florida last night, and he's been dynamite. He's been back-checking. He's been doing every single thing you can ever ask from him. He's going to get paid, and if he does this in the postseason, I have no problem giving him what he wants. None. But until I see this in the postseason, I can't commit 8+. Can we? God, I want to believe that it's a new Johnny and we're going to see this in the postseason, and we very well could. We very well could. And think about how great that would be. We'll see, though. I still have my doubts. Chris Tanev played his 600th game in Chicago. That came quick, huh? Well, he's been a force for us this year. And a couple games where he struggled a little bit, but all in all, a force for this team. Lucic scored against the Seattle Kraken the other night on Thursday night. He is only one of six players in the National Hockey League that have scored on all 32 teams. Max Pacioretty of the Golden Knights is one. Derek Brassard of the Philadelphia Flyers is one. Phil Kessel is one. Mikael Granlund of the Nashville Predators is one. Mike Hoffman of the Montreal Canadiens. And yeah, Armelan Lucic, the guy we didn't consider to be a goal scorer. And keeps finding the net. Yes, he does. Prospect goaltender Dustin Wolf was called up for a game in Seattle. Now he didn't play. He rode the bench, which is fine and understandable. But with Vladar classified as a non-roster player and getting over the COVID and not traveling for that one game going into the States and coming back for precautionary reasons, Dustin Wolf was called up on an emergency basis, and he did back up Markstrom in that win. When asked about Dustin Wolf, Daryl Sutter said he's 14-0-2. Goalies are just like coaches. They're measured on their record. So he's a good goalie. Yeah, I love Sutter's quotes. He is just on. I love it. He is so entertaining to watch. Calgary, not the only team in the organization to have some COVID issues. The Stockton's going through a few. Adam Warner, Yusuf Alamaki, Emilio Pettersson. All have entered protocol and should be completing that here. If not today, yesterday, they should have been moving out of that. So hopefully Stockton can stay healthy and get their season continued. We talked a little bit last week about the taxi squad. Adam Ruziska and Byron Fraze are current players on Calgary's practice squad. And this week we were dealt another blow in Calgary. There is confirmation that on December 31st deadline to proceed with construction phase has lapsed and the Calgary Arena deal has been terminated. Where do we go? We will be talking about this frequently in the weeks to come and months to come, but I can't help but think that there's going to be a deal. I'm like a roller coaster on this. One day I'm thinking, oh my God, the Flames are moving. And the next day I think everything will be fine. I was listening to some talk radio the other day and they said something that made me feel a whole lot better. So I thought I'd share that with you. They said that if this ownership group decided to pack up and move out of Calgary, that there's about 10 other ownership groups in the league that would be calling saying, hey, they have a great fan base in Calgary. Can we move our team there? Because we will be more profitable. I love that. But the fact is, the Saddle Dome is old. It needs to go. It can't be remodeled much more. It's just not big enough to add in things. I mean, you can't build on. So the roof is a hindrance. We've got to figure something out. We just have to figure something out. And I pray we do. And deep down, feel like I think we will. On to talking about the division, the Pacific Division. Let's roll through the standings as they are right now. Vegas in first with 45 points. Anaheim in second with 43. Calgary in third with 40. Edmonton two behind at 38. Los Angeles in fifth at 37. San Jose rolling back to reality. They're in sixth with 35. Vancouver red hot is up to 35 points. In seventh, and Seattle sits at 24. In eighth, point percentage, Calgary still sits atop with .645. They played between 2 and 5 games difference from everybody else. Calgary currently on a 5-4-1 streak, where the hottest team in the division is Vancouver, 8-1-1. And the coldest team is, yes, the Edmonton Oilers at 2-6-2. And let's talk about them. This Oilers team started out 9-1 and since then has been falling, winning just 2 of their last 10. Goaltending has been horrendous. Dave Tippett, their coach, has been called out every day in the media saying that he needs to be replaced. He ripped his goaltender 2 nights ago saying Koskinen just was not good and, you know, basically went off. Koskinen fired back today saying, well, you know, it doesn't feel good to be thrown under the bus. I have to be better. But in the last 6 starts I've had, the team has scored 7 goals and I can't score goals. Tonight they are playing. Oh, more bad news. Yeah, forgot to tell you this. McDavid, yeah, test positive for COVID. He is in protocol right now. I also heard Tyson Berry's in COVID protocol. And that game, if you're an Edmonton Oilers fan, yeah, things are not going well for you. I'm pulling up the update right now, and yep, you've lost again tonight, 4-2 in Toronto, and the sun is not coming up in Edmonton tomorrow. I can't help but say that I don't feel bad because we've been on those stretches. What will happen with this team? Will they fire Tippett? Will they go out and trade to bring in a big goaltender? I don't know what will happen. This team is in trouble. They are in free fall. Their confidence is an all-time low, and they are not working together. And you know what? That's not a recipe for success. The Vegas Golden Knights have placed Max Pacioretty on long-term injured reserve with wrist surgery. This will free up cap space for the Eichel return. Expect Pacioretty to return right before the playoffs, a la the Tampa Bay Lightning, finding that clause. We'll see how it plays out. That's what I think is going to happen. Maybe some will disagree, but I don't know. I think that the games are being played with the cap, and that's the rule. I mean, it is what it is. What do you do? I wish that, well, I don't know. Do I wish we were playing those games? No, probably not. I don't know. Do I feel jealous we didn't get Jack Eichel? I don't know. Maybe it's going to be, I think it's going to be a blessing, guys. I think it's going to be a blessing. We got to build depth down through our prospects is what we need to do before this team's a real true contender. Thanks everybody for joining us on the live shows, and we appreciate it. I would like more comments during the live shows and people to pipe up and ask questions or argue with me or dispute some of my opinions and stuff. And we got some great guests lined up for some future episodes, but jump on. We want fan interaction, whether it be via Twitter or on the live feed. You get in, you participate. I'm going to be sending you some hockey cards. I'll send you the Flames Unfiltered quick link card for your podcasts. I got bunches of Flames cards to give away this year. I got a whole stack of them. I want to give them away. So join the show in the coming weeks. Get on. Do some talking, ask some questions. I'll fire some hockey cards at you and get those sent off. That's always kind of a nice little gift, right, Flames fans?
Get all your Flames Unfiltered podcasts, team news, team updates, and highlights at flamesunfiltered.com.
Well, the road trip continues as the Flames head into Tampa Bay Thursday night, the 6th of January, tomorrow night. And Tampa Bay currently ranked first in the Atlantic with 49 points. The back-to-back Stanley Cup champions. Yeah, this is the Flames' first meeting of the year with the Tampa Bay Lightning. They'll play again in Calgary on March 10th. We hope, right? Yeah, big game tomorrow night. It'll be interesting to see who gets a start in net. I know a lot of people were thinking Markstrom should get it just to get him back in the saddle again. I don't know. I kind of think they'll go with Vladar on this one, just so that Markstrom on the second night of a back-to-back can be ready to go against Carolina. But we'll see what Daryl Sutter, he's the one making that decision. I'm not. Friday night, the following night, back-to-back, the 7th of January, Calgary and Carolina. Carolina third in the Metro right now with 47 points. This team's been really, really good lately. This is the second meeting between these two teams this year. Carolina beat Calgary in an overtime game, 2-1 on December 9th, a game I thought Calgary played really, really good. I thought it was a really good game. After that game on Friday night, the Flames will fly back home and have 5 days off before they'll play the Ottawa Senators at home on the 13th. And you ask, well, wait a minute. We had a game on the 11th canceled or postponed, a game on the 15th postponed at home. Why are they playing this one? Well, I've been told that the Flames-Ottawa game won't be rescheduled because it is part of a Western road trip for Ottawa that they cannot complete their schedule because they won't have time to get back out. So the Flames are going to be forced to play with minimal fans. I don't know what the requirements will be at that time. Maybe 50%. God, I would love it to get back to 100%. So we could get back to some normalcy. But the Flames are going to have another extended break here now, which scares the heck out of me because, you know, the days of the season are running out, and we have a lot of games left. The Flames have currently right now played 31 games. You know, we have 51 games left. That's a lot of hockey. This seems like this season should be much further along than it really is. So it'll be interesting to see how that all pans out over the next coming weeks and how those changes are, because I don't see how this league is going to have to start having these teams play at home. There's just no getting around it. So we'll see how that goes. But we got good hockey the next two nights, Thursday, Friday night on the road in Tampa and Carolina. More measuring sticks games as they are top five teams in the league. So we're going to learn more and more and more. We're off next week since I will be traveling next week. Won't be able to roll out my normal Wednesday night show. We're back again on the 19th of January to roll through. Hopefully the Flames are playing at home with fans by then. Yeah. Lots to see. We'll talk it all. Maybe a trade will happen. I don't know. We'll see what happens. Let's get some more points, Flames. Let's stay up in the standings. Check out flamesunfiltered.com. Get on over to Inside Edge Hockey Media Group on YouTube. Subscribe, Apple Podcasts, rate, review us, help us out. Please stay healthy, safe, and smiling. It's a new year. The Flames are good. We have a lot to celebrate. We'll see you in a couple weeks. Get connected. Flames Unfiltered can be found on Twitter at Flame Unfiltered. And also make sure you check out our Facebook page at Flames Unfiltered. Check out host Brad Brood on Twitter at Brad Brood. And if you like what you hear, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. You can find Flames Unfiltered on all the major podcast players. Thanks again and enjoy the hockey action.
Play on! Yeah, baby! Play on! Yeah!
Thanks for tuning in to Flames Unfiltered. Check back for more action-packed Calgary Flames talk.
This episode of Flames Unfiltered was copyrighted and produced by Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.